I'm coming through. Nothing can stop me now. Stand back, world, I'm warning you. Nothing can stop me now. Now I know that there is a promised land. I'm gonna find it, and how. Hope is high, and I'm gonna cling to it. Tie every string to it. Give everything to it.
I'm Leonard Lopate, and this is WNYC 93.9 AM 820. We're online at WNYC.org. Mickey Rooney got his first laugh on stage when he was just 18 months old, and over the past 80 years, he's 83 now, Mr. Rooney has continued to get his laughs. He's been a star of stage and screen and played every kind of venue in between, including the trenches during World War II. And he has been married to singer Jan Rooney for over 25 years now, longer than all his previous seven marriages combined. Now, Mickey and Jan have joined forces in another way to pay a musical tribute to Mickey's long show business career and to some of the legends he's met along the way. They've called it Let's Put On a Show. It's running at the Irish Repertory Theater through September 12th, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Jan and Mickey Rooney to my show today. Hi.
Thank you, Leonard. It's a pleasure
to be here.
Gosh, it sure is.
This show is really a multimedia trip down memory lane. You've combined stories, stand-up songs for both of you, and there are even movie clips and stills from your life that are projected onto the giant screens behind the stage. And yet I get the feeling that you were just scratching the surface
of this
marvelous career. It must have been difficult deciding what to leave out.
Well, the only thing is that, we've gotten a lot of things that people might remember in, but they can't put them all. I've done 350 pictures, and that record will never be topped by anybody.
And for many years, or a number of years anyway, you were the number one box office draw in the world.
Well, that was then. This is now. But, good things happen to you in life, and some bad things, too.
Maybe we'll get to that. There was that time when you were really making a fortune for everybody, and you said in your autobiography that, I'm trying to remember, you had $2,345.33 in the bank. You were 35 years old.
I'm sure that a lot of people have done that, too.
$600 million
that
in movie receipts.
That sounds about what we have right now, Leonard.
Money isn't everything, but you need it,
Absolutely. It must have been... Does it feel odd sometimes to be standing on the stage, you're 83 years old, going to be 84 next month, in fact, and watching a clip of yourself at 5...
Well, no, those things happen. It's interesting to the people, I think, to see these particular things.
Do you watch your old movies?
No, I don't. I've watched Bridges of Tokaree, which I liked very much, and of course, once in a while, Boys Town and
National Velvet.
And National Velvet with
that?
Elizabeth Taylor, but. The rest can be, I've done Killer McCoy, boxing picture. I've done Babyface Nelson. So there's a lot,
But you were playing kids when you were an adult, and you were playing adults when you were a kid. When you were 7 years old, didn't you play a cigar smoking midget in a movie?
No, that was when I was 3. I think I'm one of the few actors who made a picture with the great Will Rogers.
Mm.
And John
the county chairman.
And then later you were in Will Rogers' Follies.
Yes.
At paying tribute
of
a sort. Jan, in your case, didn't you get an early start in show business as well?
Well, yes, kind of.
Well, you recorded.
I always knew I wanted to sing, even from the time I was 3 years old, and Mother made a recording of Sioux City Sue. And
which was a hit then.
Yes, and I
your
knew
hair is
I
red,
was
your
on
eyes
my
are
way.
Blue. So you've been performing and writing songs ever since?
Oh, yes.
In your case, you do a tribute to Patsy Cline, mm-hmm. and I know you've also performed with Chet Atkins. So
yes,
do you?
I have.
Would your career have been strictly country music if
Not
you hadn't teamed up with Mickey?
No. I love all kinds of music, and that's the fun part of being with Mickey, because I think he also likes anything from country to classic. Show tunes, light opera, you name it.
Jen and I love to listen to classical music.
Oh, indeed we do.
And I've written a symphony called Melodante, and Eugene Zador at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer helped me.
That'll probably be one of the big surprises of this show for many people, just how many songs you've written. Was that something, I know that you started in vaudeville.
Well, I can't put all the songs I've written down. I mean, I can't put Make Believe Cowboy in.
Country song.
But
he does it all.
But Nat King Cole, that I helped along in the early days, and I think he's the most wonderful singer and entertainer in the world. And unfortunately, he's not with us any longer, but his daughter's doing great, I understand, Natalie. And he was at a place called Jim Otto's on La Cienega. And it was there that I heard him. He was at the trio at that time. And I said, Nat, I'm so happy to know you, but I think there's bigger things for you. And I went to Capitol Records, and the rest is history.
And then he later recorded one of your Christmas songs.
Yes, he wrote. Which is on his recorded "Little Christmas Tree" for me
on his album.
He was a really great pianist as well. That's one of the sad losses of his success was that he stopped playing piano because he was
right.
one of the
and
best jazz
course,
pianists alive.
I think Nelson Riddle came into the picture with him and made some records with Nat. And of course, these are the kind of things. I even had a record of Guy Lombardo, and his brother sang a thing I wrote called Oceans Apart, and I don't know whatever happened to that, but
they played on New Year's usually, I think.
Yeah.
You had a full career by the time you did the Andy Hardy series, which most people remember you for initially.
No, I don't.
You began in vaudeville, didn't you?
I don't think so. My mother and father were in burlesque, and those were the forerunners of sitcoms.
Mm-hmm.
Because they always ended up with a wisecrack or a joke, and everybody laughed. But
you were singing, and did you play piano and drums? Is that where the music comes
from? No, later on at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, when I did Strike Up the Band and Girl Crazy and Babes in Arms. And, of course, I did the last picture that we did, Judy and I, was Words and Music, the story of Lawrence Hart. And it's been wonderful, but Jan and I write songs together. My wife Jan and I, and
I'm very happy to say that we have our
Hollywood star on Hollywood Boulevard, Jan and I.
Oh yes, April 26th,
for live entertainment.
We both received
in
that.
Last April,
mm-hmm. And we actually performed at the Star, which was one of the first. I understand no one's
has ever done that.
The honor which we were granted to do that, and
I understand that Ginger Rogers predicted that this marriage would last despite Mickey's terrible track record. What led her to see that?
Well, I'll tell you why. I had met Ginger at a screening in Westwood of That's Entertainment 2, or was it 2 or 3? I don't recall.
I don't remember.
And she sat in front of me, and we probably spoke for at least an hour and had the greatest conversations. And she says, I just know it. This is the one that's going to last. You are so perfect for Mickey. And I just took that to my heart and never, of course, she's always one of my favorites, as was Fred Astaire.
Well, wives often are jealous of the previous wives, and Mickey's had some remarkable ex-wives. Did you ever feel jealous at all?
Oh, goodness, no. In fact, I invited one of his wonderful wives over to the house for a Christmas party some years back.
Which one?
She was delightful. Well, that was Betty Jane Rice, mm-hmm. And she's no longer with us, but she was a lovely, lovely woman.
Mickey, you joke that as a wife, Ava Gardner lost her recipe for toast. Now, I doubt that many men would have cared whether Ava Gardner could make toast or not, or even boil water for that matter.
Well, it was a young marriage that didn't last, and of course...
You were 20 and she was 19?
I was 20 and she was 19.
They were so cute together. She actually called us on the phone, and I got to actually speak with her, and what a delightful, beautiful
in
woman
London.
She was. Well, she actually called in California first and invited us both to dinner. So that's one another wife I I got to know a little bit.
Well, let's not talk about the wives. Let's just talk about our show.
Oh, no, we must talk about the wives.
We should talk about everything, Mickey. Yeah, after all, it's all part of what the show is about, too. But I understand that you were a patient in the same hospital that Jan was born in on the same day.
That's correct.
So, but you didn't know at the
Hollywood Presbyterian Hospital.
So this is star-crossed lovers, in a sense.
I guess so. Somewhere in that vicinity.
I had broken my leg in Big Bear in a toboggan accident and came down, and they put me in the same hospital. And I was on the third floor, and Jan was being born on the sixth floor.
Well, we think it was right around the same time because you would be in the hospital for quite some time. Quite a few months for the injury he'd had.
But Jan paints, I paint, and we write songs together, and we...
We love animals.
We love animals.
So is that, you think, what is the difference? Did you learn from all of the previous mistakes and now finally get it right with somebody you have a lot in common with?
I found out in life I'm not the only one that's made a mistake.
Well, I don't know that they were mistakes.
And if anybody ever says to anybody, I never made a mistake, you can tell them.
Yeah.
But were they actually
mistakes?
That's
the biggest lie of all
time. In those days,
times.
I think you married... Whether you actually saw that in the cards or not, it was something you just did. Now people seem to take their time and get to know one another, and I think that's what we did. We were together for quite a few years before we actually.
I've made tremendous mistakes. I've made an awful lot of mistakes, and Jan seems to be the only one that.
I think
Jan has really been my only marriage that I really. Care to recall and remember and everything else. In fact, we were remarried in Virginia by Gary Falwell.
Earlier this year, but Jerry Falwell, actually. We attended his church and did a TV program, and Mickey decided that afternoon we were going to get remarried, and we went to his little chapel, and there we were.
So not just born again, but also married again.
Exactly.
We'll take a little break here, and we'll come back with Jan and Mickey Rooney. They're starring in a show appropriately named Let's Put On a Show. Everybody knows what that refers to. It's at the Irish Repertory Theater on West 22nd Street. And I gather it's far enough away from Madison Square Garden so that anybody can get there. There are no problems finding parking in the
neighborhood. Well, we had trouble the other night getting there, but, everybody with the convention in town is having problems, this and that. And then, of course, the great city of New York, their police department and their fire department is doing a magnificent job.
But everyone plowed through Sunday, and we had our whole audience. So
well, we'll be back with more and talk about that and other things right after this. I'm Leonard Lopate, and I'm talking with Mickey Rooney and Jan Rooney. They're starring in a show called Let's Put On a Show, which is running at the Irish Repertory Theater on West 22nd Street on the kind of far west side. And listening to Jan singing You Made Me Love You reminds me, of course, that you did so many things with Judy Garland over the years. She comes in for special tribute in this show. When you were growing up as somebody who was in show business from your earliest memory, was it hard finding kids to have a normal childhood with? And was Judy one of the people you had that with?
Well, I've always had a subnormal normal life in school. I went to public schools. I went to Vine Street in Hollywood, and I
You were able to mix that with a full movie career?
Yes, of course. I mean, you know, because if you lose that, you lose everything. I mean, celebrity, it doesn't mean a thing. It's what you grow up with and the things that you have in your memories that you have that count. And being a nice person and being as good as you can today. You know, like, for instance, the language has changed so much. It's "you guys sit over here" or something. Don't you remember when people would say, would you ladies and gentlemen sit over here or something? You know, and it's
a little more casual today.
It's a little more, I don't know what it is, it's changed. And then you have awesome. Everything is awesome today.
But Mickey, coming into work today on the train, everybody was wearing jeans. And when I was younger, I couldn't imagine anyone going to work in jeans. The world has changed.
Oh, yes. Well, change is good as long as it doesn't annoy anybody.
Now, what about growing up under those circumstances? So you obviously had contact with people who weren't in the business because you were going to public school. But you spent a lot of time on the lot with others. So were you able to compare notes with somebody like Judy, who had a similar childhood?
Well, believe it or not, Lana Turner was there at the schoolhouse too, and Judy, and Elizabeth Taylor, and
another child star that you performed with.
Yes, and then the great Frank Sinatra. You know, I found him at the Palladium in Hollywood with Tommy Dorsey's orchestra. And I called Mr. Mayer and I said, "Mr. Mayer, I've seen somebody that's just magic and fantastic." And he said, "Well, have him give me a call." And Frank was my friend, and I told him to call Louis B. Mayer at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, and he did, and the rest is history.
Well, didn't they first think he was a little too skinny, or was that Fred Astaire was too skinny?
No. I got news for you. The talent came out, you know what I
Mickey
mean?
Mickey saw something in him more than just a singer, didn't he?
Yes, I did. He was.
And thank goodness
He developed into a wonderful actor, too, you know. And
from here to eternity.
And Judy became a wonderful actress in A Star Is Born.
I think A Star Is Born, she Judgment holds her own with James Mason, one of the greatest actors that ever lived. It's just amazing.
Good
film.
Friend of mine.
Well, the show features a tribute to Judy Garland with a song you wrote yourself called Judy, and footage of the two of you in Babes in Arms, and later on the Judy Garland Show. Had you remained lifelong friends?
Well, up till the time that she passed away, I came to where she needed me, and I came to see her. And
so you were aware that she was in serious trouble.
Well, unfortunately, yes, and I think that we can talk about her talent, not about her troubles.
Mm-hmm. Well, but is that the way you would like to think about everyone? Because the two often do go together. Some people, in the case of Judy Garland, we associate her and her sitting on the edge of the stage and crying when she sang a song with the personal life. It's impossible to separate one from the
other. I understand that. But the only thing is that, isn't it a funny thing that people are drawn, unfortunately, to sadness? And things they want to yes, look at how sad she is, you know, and this and that, and it's unfortunate, you know what I mean. When you're in show business, you have to take all of the wonderful people who come, and isn't that right, Jan? Who give you their handshake and their love and their caring about you, you know what I mean. I think it's a very important thing.
But so often they don't know your inner turmoils, the things that are going on that are troubling you.
And
for example, you worked with Marilyn Monroe.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I found her. There was a. She came by helicopter, and got off, and she was. Everybody was going, "Oh gosh, look at this."
Where was this?
This was at Ray Anthony's home. Out in the valley, the orchestra leader.
He got married as many times as you did.
I beg your pardon?
Wasn't he married a lot of times himself?
I have no idea. That's his own business.
Uh-huh.
And it's none of my business.
So Marilyn showed up, she was gorgeous.
I knew that she had a tremendous chance, but she needed the right handling. She needed somebody that could front her. So I took her to the William Morris Agency, and I called my friend Johnny Hyde, and who was with Abe Glasvogel, and he came in and he said, "Gee, I'd like to have her over for dinner." So we took her over to dinner, and Johnny just flipped for her, like so many other people, and he handled her career, and that was Marilyn Monroe. I changed her name, you know, from Barbara Jean to
Norma Jean.
Norma Jean to I took her to her place, and everybody said, "Oh, Mickey's got this," and I said, "No." And we went to her place, and she said, "What do you want?" I said, "I think you need to change your name." And she said, "What is it?"
Norma Jean Baker. She'd still be great, but not the same.
I said, Marilyn. There was a great star called Marilyn Miller, mm-hmm. and Marilyn should be your first name. And the phone rang, and it was my friend,
Monroe Manning,
who I'd written scripts with, this and that. And I said, "Can I call you right back, Monroe?" And I stopped. And she says, "Who was that?" I said, "I was talking to your last name."
There's a good combination.
Marilyn Monroe.
I actually went to the same high school she went to. She went a couple of years before I did.
So, Mickey, do you see yourself as a kind of a talent scout, somebody who spots talent and wants to help?
I'm just happy that I brought several people, like Red Skelton, to Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, and I'm very happy that I did that.
Not a bad guy to bring to MGM.
Sammy Davis Jr., I found him in Baltimore when they were the Will Mastin Trio, and they were working with Judy and I on the stage. And it's just been one after another, you know. And
what about your own name? You were born Joe Yule Jr.
Yes, I know. But then I've got news for you. I changed it to Mickey McGuire, and then the fellow who had written the cartoon,
the Toonerville Trolleys,
sued me, and I had to have a new name. And so my mother came up with, they thought that Mickey was fine, but she came up with Rooney, and I've been Mickey Rooney ever since.
You were in the series based on the Toonerville Trolleys, which were a very popular cartoon even when I was a kid. It was quite wonderful, slightly surreal. And that's where you were Mickey McGuire?
Right, that's right. And I made 80 of those comedies and shorts. And
you were just very young at the time. Yes, first started as a silent series, didn't
yes,
it?
Three, and then I went on. I made a picture with Tom Mix, I think one of the few with people, the cowboy star.
With his horse Champion.
Yes, and it was called My Pal the King. And I don't know what's ever happened to that, but
a lot of those movies have just disappeared.
No,
they've
been restored, as I understand, and out on DVD. And
well, many movie buffs will remember seeing you in A Midsummer Night's Dream. You played Puck, directed by one of the
William
legends.
William Dieterle.
That was actually Max Reinhardt, wasn't it?
No, he directed it on the stage.
Did he?
Yes, with Weisberg was his assistant, mm-hmm. and he didn't speak English, but. We had a wonderful time at the Hollywood Bowl, and we played there 2 months.
Olivia
to 20,000 people a night.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
That's so,
and then, of course, when
theater.
I made the picture at Warner Brothers, that's where I found my good friend Jimmy Cagney, mm-hmm. who played Bottom.
And then you were in Ah Wilderness. You were in Captain's Courageous. But it was really a family affair, wasn't it, that changed things around a bit?
Yes, and
that's where you played
the
Andy
first
Hardy.
Judge Hardy was Lionel Barrymore. Yeah. And what a wonderful man he was. He painted and wrote sketches and wrote music. He was a fantastic man.
My guests are Jan and Mickey Rooney. This is WNYC 93.9 AM 820. We're online at WNYC.org. Mickey and Jan are appearing through September 12th in a show called Let's Put On a Show at the Irish Repertory Theater on West 22nd Street.
And, you know, if people
Street.
Think that they can't get down there, I think they can, and we'd love to see everybody come. Jan and I love to perform, and we love doing our show, and we hope the people will not stay away because of the convention, and that's a very important thing, too, without a doubt. That's the most important
thing. Well, maybe
thing.
Some of the conventioneers would want to come as well.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
sure that
nice.
You have
wonderful.
Some Republican fans. Was doing the Hardy series kind of like doing a sitcom today in time?
Well,
did
no,
they...
it was different because every one of the Hardys ran for an hour and 45 to two hours. and they seem to carry a message. I'm just surprised today that no one has taken and done the Hardy family. And they had the Hardy Boys, and that has nothing to do with the Andy Hardy series. A family series today, I think, would be very important to the children and everything else. A lot of people maybe would look back at it and say, ha, 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 things don't work out that way. But
we had Father Knows Best, we had Leave It to Beaver, and then we had the Partridge Family.
Yeah, but those were television things.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't.
Oh, you want a movie
pictures.
That's like that?
Yes, yeah. I think that if they could find a young boy and somebody to play Judge Hardy, and it would be fabulous thing to do again for the motion picture
but
screen.
How would they ever replace you, dear?
Well, sweetheart, I got everybody as replaceable.
No wonder this marriage has lasted so long. That's really sweet.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, Leonard, it's okay. We're having a conversation.
You know, Jan and I, we've been together for almost 30 years, and we love performing, and we love doing our show, and we hope everybody will come to the Irish Repertory Theater to see our show.
A listener says he remembers seeing you in Midsummer Night's Dream in the Bronx. Would that be possible? Do you remember doing that?
I beg your pardon?
A listener says he remembers seeing you in Midsummer Night's Dream in the Bronx, in some theater in the Bronx.
Oh, it might have been the picture.
But you didn't travel
no,
with it.
No, we played it in San Francisco and Chicago to a live audience, which in those days was fantastic to see a Midsummer Night's Dream on the stage.
Yeah.
And we toured with that to about four or five, because not everybody was attuned into Shakespeare. And
Then you did all those movies where you would say, let's put on a show, but you didn't go back into theater until much later. Isn't that true?
That's true. No, well, times were changed. That was a younger time in our society. You know, things have changed. It's before computers, before cell phones, before anything. And it was a kind of an unhysterical period. But, you know, computers are so important today, you know, for everybody.
Well, what about appearing on the stage? A lot of people who began on the stage say they prefer it, even if they develop great careers in the movies. You came back with Sugar Babies. It was a really big hit. You've done Will Rogers Follies, Two for the Show, The Sunshine Boys, The Wizard of Oz. I'm sure I'm leaving a few things out. Is that fun, appearing before a live audience? Did you miss that all the years you were in the movies?
Well, you know, it was, you were doing what you were doing at that particular time. I think that everybody has a time that they do something
that we love,
or at least they should do something instead of sitting around saying, well, it'll happen to me. Why does it happen to those? But everybody has to put their best foot forward. And I think that
when you look out in the audience and see maybe a little tear trickling down and a beautiful smile on someone's face, then you know you've maybe reach and touch someone's heartstrings.
Also, you get applause, instant applause. You
exactly.
do something and people laugh at your joke. They applaud a routine that you do. I know that that makes hams out of us all whenever I've done things in front of a crowd and got my
it's
laughs. So the next thing I know is I want more laughs.
That's
well,
right.
I think that it's a joy to bring laughter to people, you know. And I'm lucky enough to have done that, and but I like the serious things that I've done too. I mean, I like doing serious roles, and of course, being 83, there's not a lot of people that want me anymore.
Oh, you're a spring chicken! Stop it.
No, in pictures, you know.
Well, you won an Oscar in 1983 for Lifetime Achievement. That must have been a thrill for you.
Yes, of course it was, and of course Bob Hope, unfortunately, never won an Oscar. And I think he's always cracked, well, I've never won an Oscar, you know, or this and that. But
you actually did two movies with Bob Hope.
I did. I did The Military Policeman and Off Limits at Paramount.
I think he was great in movies. He
developed Dorothy Lamour. Oh,
but he also developed a persona that was obviously not him. There's that wisecracking, slightly obnoxious guy that was very brave, I think.
Well,
You want to always be liked, don't
Bob
you?
Bob Hope, there is never going to be another Bob Hope.
That's
and,
for sure.
He was one of the he was the founder of the USO, you know, and I remember that after I was in the Army and I went around and did some shows for Bob.
You got a Bronze Star for
yes, I well I was when I was in the Army when I was in the Army, yes, and
that was for bravery.
And I was an announcer on the radio on American Forces Network in Regensburg, Germany. And of course, General Bradley, I entertained in front of him, and we became good friends after the war. And he married someone from Palm Springs, Kitty Bradley, and he was a very dear friend of mine. And I did a show for General Eisenhower at the time and General de Gaulle at in Paris at the Madeleine Theater.
What history this man has.
And you can see Mickey Rooney still right now, Mickey and Jan Rooney, in Let's Put On a Show at the Irish Repertory Theater, which is at 132 West 22nd Street. And the box office number there is 212-727-2737. What a great pleasure it has
Come
been
on,
for me.
Come on, we'll put on a
Thank
show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Leonard, for having us.
Thank you, Leonard.
And God bless America. Remember, when the voting counts.
Potato, tomato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing off. Oh, if we call the whole thing off, then we must part.
And oh, if we ever part, then that might break my heart.
So if you like pajamas and I like pajamas,
will you wear pajamas and give up pajamas?
For we know we need each other, so we better call the calling off. Let's call the whole thing off.